to be blessed. Luke chapter 24. I want to start there at verse 45 through verse 50. Amen. I've got this handsome young 9-year-old here with me, my son Josiah. I'm going to get him to come for a moment, read these scriptures for me, save my voice. The Bible said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I'm going to listen to him read it, and maybe faith will rise up in all of us. Amen.
45 through 50.
Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus is written, and thus is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and to repentance and remission of sins should be reached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them.
Amen. Amen. Pray God raise up a missionary in my own family. Amen. Amen. Verse 45, he opened their understandings that they might understand the scriptures. Do we realize here that he's not just talking to a Pharisee that was walking by, but here Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's raised from the dead, he's walking, and he's going to Bethany. He's fixing to be carried up to never see them again in the natural. He's going to be taken away from them, and he says to his disciples, to Peter, to James, to John, to those that were with him, it said he opened their understandings that they might understand the scriptures. See, it come to me one night in Indonesia. I was praying, and it come to me that if Peter, who walked with Christ for 3 years, he saw the miracles, he saw Jesus baptized, Jesus walk on water, Jesus raised the dead, Jesus crucified, Jesus raised from the dead, he saw all of that. He saw the risen Son of God, but yet his understanding was still darkened. There was a lot of things about the scriptures that Peter did not understand. And Jesus said to him, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, Peter, there's some things you need to know. You have a head knowledge, but you need your understanding to be opened. See, we see this scripture, and I want you to understand tonight that there are some things, according to God, you don't understand yet. Can I get an amen? You don't understand yet. There's some things that are so great and so vast, you haven't realized it yet. The Lord needs to open our understandings. I've seen a lot of people carrying their burdens. When the Bible said, cast your burden upon me because I care for you. I've seen a lot of people live in depression. Can I get an amen? You've seen that. Are you with me tonight? Have you seen people living in depression? I mean, they go to church on Sunday, they go to church on Wednesday, they read their Bible, they pray, but yet they live in depression. But the Bible said that Jesus Christ has come to set the captive free. I've met a lot of people, they go to church, they hear the Word of God, but their understanding has never been enlightened. Pastor talks about fasting, talks about prayer, talks about giving, but they never think Pastor is talking about them. He's talking about the other person. But I want to tell you tonight, there's some things your understanding must be open. See, God is everywhere at all times. The same God that made the heavens and the earth is here with us tonight. See, when you understand how great God is, but most people, they live their life in the mundane. They never see the greatness of God. They never. See, there is a difference. I don't have time to get into it tonight, between the presence of God and the glory of God. We could preach a long time on that, but in the presence of God, Jesus walked amongst the Emmaus Road disciples. They didn't even know who he was till they broke bread together. Other people, Jesus walked through the wall. He's standing there with them, and Thomas is doubting who it is. See, Jesus was there in his presence. But everywhere in the Bible, you see glory, people were changed. When Moses saw the glory, he fell on his face. John, when he saw the glory, fell as a dead man. Isaiah cried out, "Lord, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me." See, the glory of God, when it comes down, it always deals with mankind. There's something amazing about the glory of God. And I make that point to say there are some things we can seem to be holy, we can seem to be religious, we can think we are doing so good, but when the Lord would open our understanding and we really saw who we were, we would be amazed. Things we allow in our life, things of doubt and unbelief and fear, when God wants us to be strong, we are weak. When he wants us to run, we walk, and we wonder why we don't see more miracles than we're seeing. See, the reason isn't God, the reason's us. The reason we can't point the finger and say God changed, but Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 12 said God's people have changed. We need our understanding to be opened to realize we must be what God desires if we're going to see the results. If we want to see God move, our understanding must be opened. I've went through this life of 14 years of walking with Christ, and I've realized a few things, and you know, I've learned along this step more about Christ than I knew yesterday. Let's put it that way. I know more about Jesus today than I did last year or 5 years ago. I was reading a book the other day, and the book was talking about things that we don't understand. And one of the things it was is that when you realize something new, when you see it, first you would think, well, I didn't know that, and now I know something new. But that human mind always says, well, I've always known this. You read a scripture in the Bible, and you see that, and all of a sudden that natural man says, oh, I know that. See, a lot of things are missed by that mentality. Instead of understanding, hey, Jesus is my healer. I know that with my mind, but do I know it with my heart? Jesus is my provider. I know that with my mind. I know it because the Bible said it, but do I have a relationship with him that I know he can provide? I've met many people on hospital beds. They would say easily, yes, Jesus is a healer, but they never believe Jesus could heal them. Yes, Jesus can provide, but they don't believe Jesus can provide for them. See, our eyes and our understanding need to be opened. Who can doubt Job? Job in Job 1 is called a perfect man by God. He's called perfect. His wife doesn't think so. His children don't think so, maybe. I don't know. But his friends don't think so. But he's called perfect. But when you get to the end of the book of Job, his eyes are opened. He said, God is bigger than the stars. See, somewhere in this walk, folks, our eyes need to be opened to how great God is. He's bigger than everything I face. He's bigger than tomorrow. He's bigger than whatever I'm going through. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but how much of the church is living in defeat today because they've never understood what I'm saying. They've never seen the vastness of God and how wonderful God is. You go to Isaiah chapter 4, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you. Chapter 5, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you. Chapter 6, Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and the very next words was, woe is me. See, it's easy in a Pentecostal atmosphere to point the finger at everybody else. Oh, if they prayed like I pray, if they did what I do, and to point. But really, God wants to deal with us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. I was there with Pastor Clendenin. Many of you know him. He was a man of God. He loved God, walked with God. But I remember when one day we were in a prayer meeting and he's crying. And finally, at the end of the prayer meeting, he said, God told me I don't love him as much as I think I do. Here's a man. He's maybe 82, 83 years old at that time. He's been walking with God for 50 years.
years, and he said God showed him he don't love him as much as he thinks he does. See, there's room for improvement in every one of us, folks. There's a room that I can do more. I can be more. I can pray more. I can know more. And the Bible said he opened the eyes of their understanding. If I could say anything tonight, I'd say let's press in till we see something we've never seen before. Don't you want to see him like you've never seen him, to feel him? I'm not out here preaching, let's just have a little goosebump, but I want him to visit me, folks. I want him to walk by this tabernacle and to stop for a little while and sup with me and visit with me. Oh, and show me his glory. I want to be hid in a rock and let the Lord pass by and show me his glory. I want to know more of the greatness of Jesus Christ. I'm not satisfied with yesterday's manna. I want to gather some manna today. I want to get some manna that'll be enough for my wife and my children and for my community. Oh, that our eyes would be opened to the greatness of Christ. He's greater than we imagine, folks. He's bigger than the stars. He knows everything. Every cell, every organism, every protoplasm, every chromosome, everything he knows. When I think about God, he knows the temperature on Mercury. He knows the temperature on Saturn. He knows when the wind blows. And the Bible said he knows where the wind comes from. The greatness of God. And when I begin to think that Paul said the fullness of the Godhead lives inside of me, can I understand that God Almighty, who's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. God Almighty, who's the risen Savior of hell, earth, and heaven. God Almighty, who sits upon the throne of the universe, delights to live inside of me. Do you not know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you not know that God Almighty, he loves and he seeks to dwell with inside of mankind? Oh, he has. He has the cows. He has the mountains. He owns the stars. But the Bible said, to this man will I look, him of a broken and a contrite spirit. Will my ears be open? Will my eyes be open to see? I'm telling you, there's something great about God, and I want to know what it is. I want to know him more, that if I stand here next year, if the Lord would permit, I would know something of the glory and the greatness and the majesty of a holy God that I don't know tonight. I want to have a fellowship. I want him to come by and open my understanding that I could see the greatness of God. Hallelujah. Through the Bible, every time they faced a situation, God would show up and tell them he's able. David becomes king, calls upon God, and says, God, what do I do? It's a good question, David. You were a shepherd boy. You were nothing. Your own daddy didn't even think you were worthy. But yet God had mercy on you, David. God poured an oil on you, and you've been anointed to kill a giant and to kill a lion and a bear. You've been anointed to sing at the king's house, and now you've been anointed to be the king of Israel. And David calls upon God, and God says, when the Philistines come, you go up and fight head on, David, and I'll go with you, and you'll win the battle. But about 3 or 4 months later, the Philistines came back, and David didn't live under presumption, but David goes back before the Lord and says, God, last time I went up and fought and I won. But what do you want me to do, God? God, I don't want my understanding. I don't want to lean on my understanding. God, I need help tonight. I need help, Lord. And the Lord said, you go behind the enemy, David, and you wait till you hear the blowing of the mulberry bushes. And when you hear the blowing, you know I've given you the battle. They did it. They go behind the enemy, and there Joab saying, David, let's go. Other men are saying, let's go, David. Let's fight. David said, no, I need to wait on God. I talked to God, and God talked to me, told me to be still. He's down there waiting. All of a sudden, he hears the bushes a-blowing. He said, let's fight because God's with us. They rose up, and they won a mighty victory because God had showed them his ways. I'm telling you tonight, our understanding needs to be opened to see the things of God, how great he is. I don't have time to show you everything tonight, but I want to say this. Verse 46, the first thing he showed them was that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. If you'd touch the Lord tonight, first thing you're going to notice, he's the risen Lord. Amen. He's the risen Lord. He's not in a tomb. He's not in a tomb, folks. I don't care what they say about him. He is a risen Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God is risen. Verse 46, the first thing he showed them, that Christ desired to die, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. If you had touched God tonight, there would be a greater revelation of the risen Son of God. So as if you've never seen him before. I'm telling you, I wish I had time. I could take you to Revelation and show you that the light of Christ turns the sun into darkness. He doesn't cancel out the sun. It's just that his glory and his light is so much greater. It's as night and day, folks. Oh, there's so much in the Bible. But verse 47, the second thing he showed them first is that Christ died and he's risen. And the second thing he told them was repentance and remission of sin to be preached to all nations. He told them, he said, when you get a revelation of how great I am and your eyes are your understanding is opened, then you're going to see how great I am. I'm not in a tomb. I'm the risen Savior. And when you see me, the second thing in verse 47, you will repent. We will repent of our prayerlessness. We'll repent. We'll repent of how we've treated our brothers and sisters. We'll repent of how we've lived carelessly. When a world was going to hell, we were more entertained by a world's systems and movies of different things. When we see Christ, there'll be a repentance in us that says, Lord, forgive me for how I've been living. Forgive me. When Moses, God called him up on the mountain there in the book of Exodus, when he goes up on that mountain and God showed him his glory, first thing Moses did, he repented. He repented for the sin of the camp. He repented for the sin of the people. He repented for the sins that was all around him. When Joshua stands to preach, he told the people to repent. Oh, when Nehemiah stood up, he repented for the sins that had been gone on in that nation. If you're ever going to go somewhere with God, there must be a repentance. There must be a repentance. There must be. When we see the holy God and the greatness of God, we'll say, oh Lord, forgive me for how I've lived. Forgive me for what I've done. Oh, you might have done something that everybody else is doing, but in the holiness of God, you say, oh God, Jesus, you wouldn't have done that. Forgive me for what I've said. Forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for how I've lived. When you see him in the greatness of Jesus, you'll repent. You'll repent of who you are. Oh, God. Oh, the Bible, Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, a prophet of God in the presence of God, repented of what he had said. I believe if God's glory came down here tonight, a lot of people would hit the floor and say, God, forgive me for how I've talked. Forgive me for how I've prayed. Forgive me for how I've lived a careless life. But the second thing in verse 47 is the remission of sins. This word remission, it deals with being right with your brother and sister. First commandment, love God with all your heart. Second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But a lot of times, envy. I preached a church in Berea, not Pastor Osborne's, another church. I preached up there and a woman came. I'm not lying, folks. A woman came and she said to me, she said, pray for me. I want to play the piano better than the woman who plays it. I want to be the piano player and I don't want her to play it. Folks, that's just envy. See, jealousy is when you don't really like someone else because of how they are. But envy is when I want them to be put down and I want to be lifted up. But the church is full of envy. Oh, envious of the deacons, envious of Sunday school teachers, envious of the pastor, everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. But when we see Christ and our eyes are opened, we'll repent of who we are and we'll also be right with our brother and sister. We want to be right. I don't want to have offense with anybody on this earth. 7 billion people. I want to lay my head down tonight, not offending one of them, not offending them. I don't want nobody to have a grudge against me. If they don't like me, that's their fault. Amen. I've done what I was supposed to do to be right with them. One time I had a friend. I didn't mean to. He had got his wife a big old diamond wedding ring, and I said to him, I said, how much you pay for it? He got mad at me. Well, you know, I justified it by saying, you know, I didn't mean no harm. A few weeks went by, I was in an altar praying, and God spoke to me and said, you offended your brother. I said, God, I didn't mean to. He said, it don't matter if you meant to or not, you did. And I got up and I went to make it right with him. When I come around the church, I got about right in the middle and he was coming this way. God had dealt with him about being offended and dealt with me about my heart. We met there in the middle. We hugged. We cried. We're still friends today, folks. Oh, we're still friends. See, to be right with God, you must be right with your neighbor. You must be right with that person sitting on the other pew. You have to be right with other people. See, repentance to be right with God, and the remission of sins to be right with every other person on the face of the earth. Oh, when you see God, the third thing he showed them is that if you'll see me lifted up, if you'll be repented, you will be a witness of the things of Christ. I've seen a lot of people with sin in their life trying to be a witness and it don't work. It doesn't work, folks. If you're going to be a witness, you got to be free. You've got to be free from sin. See, Jesus wants us to be a witness. I'll move quickly. Verse 49, he tells them they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, when your eyes are opened, you realize you can't do this yourself. See, we study the Bible, Acts 2, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 5, they come back. They're filled again somewhere, chapter 4 or 5. They prayed, Lord, give us boldness. And the Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost again. See, it's not, was I filled yesterday, but am I filled today? Is a feeling in me today? It isn't, was I right with God yesterday, but am I right with God today? It isn't, did I have power with God last year, but do I have power with God today? It's an everyday, and Paul said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. That means present tense, be filled every day. Monday on the job, Tuesday with the family, Wednesday at church. I'm telling you every day to live a life so full of God that when they squeeze you, nothing but Jesus comes out. Amen. Amen. So you'd understand. If you'd see him in his glory, if you'd see him lifted up, one thing you would understand, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. He told him, go to Jerusalem and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You cannot do it without me, is what he was saying. You cannot make it without me. I've been with you and I want to be in you. I want to live through you. I want your voice to be my voice. I want your hands to be my hands. I want your eyes to be my eyes. I want your feet to be my feet. I want your mind to think my thoughts. See, this is the desires of Christ, folks. This is the desire to have your understanding open, to see him lifted up, to be right with God in repentance, and to be a witness and be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what God's desiring tonight of every one of us. Amen. We come to verse 50, and I'll finish with this. Verse 50, he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. There's a lot of preachers preaching today on blessings. We have what's called the prosperity movement. Give me $10, God will give you $1,000. We've all heard that. Creflo Dollar, he's got a book about how your faith got him a million, got him a jet airplane and different things like that. We've seen and heard the prosperity movement, how to be blessed, claim your blessings, 7 steps to a blessings, live in a blessings. We've heard all of the messages about blessings. All of us have, wherever you've been. I was in a church, me and my wife, just a few weeks ago, and they're having Sunday school. And every time they're in Psalms 23, when he got to the place where it said, and my cup runneth over, oh, they shouted, my cup, my cup, my cup, my cup. I mean, folks, my cup is running over, running over, running over. It was all about mine, 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 more, more, more. New car, new house, blessing, blessing, blessings. And a lot of people, their ministry centers on the natural things of life. But Jesus said to them, it said he led them out, he lifted his hands, and he blessed them. A few months ago, the Lord spoke these words to me. He said, Josh, if you want to be blessed, you must be led by me. You can't lead yourself. You can't live how you want to live. Josh, if you want to be blessed, you have to let me lead you. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Talking to my son yesterday, I got a dog. He's in an obedience class trying to teach the dog to sit and, you know, those kind of things. So me and my son go to see how it works. Just going to try to watch that deal. And the man's walking the dog and stops, and the dog don't stop. So he yanks on the chain a little bit and the dog sits. And I said, son, you see that dog is his master. He holds the chain. And when he walks, the dog walks. And when he stops, the dog stops. The man that's holding the chain is in control of the dog. If I'm walking the dog and I got the chain, I'm in control. He's watching my leg. He's walking with me. I said, he's his master. I said, that's what the Bible means, son, about Jesus is your Lord. He just, wherever he goes, that's where I go. Whatever he wants, that's what I want. When he stops, I stop. When he says go, I go. He's just my Lord. And see, the blessings is as I follow him. Amen. The children of Israel, you know, I asked this question in the school of Christ. What is the answer? Did the manna fall on the children of Israel, or did the manna fall where the cloud was? And the answer is wherever the cloud was, that's where the manna was. The people's responsibility, just follow the cloud. And as they followed the cloud, their clothes never got old. They were healed of their sickness. There was manna every day, and water came out of a rock. Amen. Wherever the Spirit was, that's where the blessing was. And the same is true today. If I'll be led by the Spirit of God, the blessings of God will be on my life. I will reap, folks, because I've sowed. I've walked behind him. And somewhere along here, there will be a wonderful, wonderful, amen, reaping of the things of God. See, I studied Psalms 23 one time. That shepherd, it said, I read a book and it said the shepherd, when he walked, he had some goodies that sheep like to eat. I don't know, barley or whatever. Had a little goodie bag. And as he walked, he would take a few of those goodies out and he would drop them off to the side. And whichever sheep were closest, they got the goodies. They got the blessings because they were close to the shepherd. Other people who was lagging behind, other sheep that was off to the distance, they never knew what those sheep who were close, what the blessings they got. And the same is true in the church. Those people walking close with the Lord, following his step, turning from sin, they see those blessings, how God provides for their physical, God provides for their spiritual, God provides for their finances. They see that. And other people who are lagging behind, living in sin, dabbling around with the world, and they're wondering why they never get blessed. I want to tell you tonight, you're not going to get your best life now. It's not going to be purpose-driven or nothing else. The answer that you need in 2013 will come because you follow Jesus Christ. You are led by the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit said go, you just went. And when he said stop, you just stopped. Amen. There has been times. One time I lived in Beaumont. The light turned green. Me and I'm in the front seat. Josiah's behind me. And the light turned green. And I'm telling you, I heard the voice of God say, don't move. And as I sat there, a car came around the corner and ran that red light. A big old four-door truck, Dodge Ram truck with a big brush guard on the front of it. I was in a little car. If I'd have pulled out, he'd have hit me doing about 60 miles an hour. We probably would have both died. But the voice of God just said, wait right there. See, God knows what's on the tomorrow. God knows. My wife and I, we had preached in Alabama somewhere, Decatur, Alabama. And the church would give us a check. And that was a wonderful thing. But the problem was our bank was in Texas. We didn't have any money to really make it back to Texas. So we're going to have to try to squeeze together and try to make it home. Well, we go into the Burger King. We order off the dollar menu, 5 items. You know, on Burger King, the little 4 chicken nuggets, 1 drink, 1 fry. You know, $5 so we could eat lunch. As we're sitting there eating lunch, a man came up and just stood there. What do you say? Sir, what can I do for you? He began to talk something. I didn't know what he was saying. All of a sudden, he reaches in his pocket, pulls out a handful of $100 bills and throws them on that table and runs out of the Burger King. Never said nothing. He jumped in a Chevy Silverado and drove off. My wife said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "Angels drive Chevrolets. That's what I think about that. That's what I think about that." I'm telling you, folks, the blessing comes by being led by the Spirit. As I look through my life, the wife I have, the ministry, the blessings, where we live, everything has come because somewhere I've chose. I don't want to live my life. I don't want to live in rebellion against God. I want Him to be my master. Oh, it's not grievous, folks. I love when the Lord walks that I can walk close to Him. And when He stops, I can rest a while with Him. Oh, it's not grievous, folks, to be led by the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing because where He leads you, that's where the blessings are. You never know when you're living out in sin. But when you begin to press in, fasting and prayer, pressing into the Lord, you begin to walk closer. You'll start to see these blessings. As I preached this morning, said that the hard people will begin to come in. And cities began to repent. And God began to move in the nations because somebody was calling upon the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, the secret to 2013, it isn't who has the biggest house, biggest car. No, the secret is who can be led the most by Jesus Christ. Who can take every step that He takes, walk hand in hand with Him. I've watched, you know, my little girl. I'm being long tonight. I'm sorry. I got my voice back, so I'm pumped a little bit. Amen. I didn't have it all this morning, but God's helped me tonight. I watched my little girl. I watched her when she's 2 years old. I would put her on a table, a kitchen table, and she'd stand there. And I'd take about, you know, I'd put her there, and I'd take few steps back, I'd say, "Jump." She'd jump and I'd catch her. You know why? She trusted me. Put her back on that table and I'd step back a little further. I'd say, "Jump." She'd just jump. She knew I'd catch her. But then I'd put her on that table and I'd back all the way across the room to the other side. She knew she couldn't jump 15 feet, 12 feet. She knew she couldn't. But I watched her every time close her eyes and jump off that table. And before she hit the ground, I'd always run and grab her up. She didn't trust in herself. She was trusting in me. She knew I was able. I loved her. I'd never let her hit the ground. And the faith of Jesus Christ is the same way. Whatever He's asking me to do, I know He won't fail me. He won't let me down. He'll catch me when I jump. Oh, sometimes I just have to close my eyes and say, "Lord, I know what You're asking of me, but I don't know how it'll work out. But I'm going to trust You and not the circumstances. I'm going to trust You and not the doctors. Trust You and not what they say about the finances and what they say about other things. My hope is in Jesus Christ tonight. If you want to be blessed, be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. And you will be amazed what God does in your life this year. Amen. Let us stand for a moment. I believe it'd be good. We just lift our hands for a moment and say, "Lord, I want to follow You. Lord, I want to take every step. Lord, whatever You ask of me, that's what I desire. I desire to be led by the Spirit. I desire, God, that when You walk, I want to walk with You. Oh, I want to be led by You. I want to be close to You." Oh, what a wonderful prayer tonight, church. What a wonderful prayer. Oh, Lord, let me walk with You. I want to be blessed because of You. Lord, You're my inheritance. Lord, You're my promise. Lord, You're my blessings. Lord, open our understanding. Let us see You, Jesus. Let us see You, Jesus. Let us see You, Jesus. Let us see You high and lifted up in Your train filling the temple. Let us see You, Lord. This year, let us have a closer walk with You than we've ever had before. Lord, this year, let us be closer to our neighbors. Lord, let us be a witness on our jobs. Let us be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Power for the situations that we face. And Lord, let us be blessed. Let us be blessed with You, Lord. Every need, His hand supplies. He's wonderful. He's holy. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning, the end. He's altogether lovely. He's everything you need tonight. He's everything you need tonight. I was on a mountain in Nepal. I'm up on the side of the mountain, and I can't see no other mountains because it's so cloudy. I'm up there for 3 weeks, and I can't see another mountain because of the clouds. And one day, clouds rolled away, and I looked, and the fourth largest mountain in the world, Ganesh Himal, was right beside of us. It's a flat-faced mountain, huge. And I looked, and it was so high, so wonderful. Couldn't believe it. It was there. The next day, I came out, and the mountain was gone. The clouds were everywhere. I began to pray that day, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, Josh, that's just the way I am. Sometimes the cloud blurs the vision of who God is. But there's times when the clouds roll away and you see how great God is. You see, He can heal, He can deliver, He can provide. But a lot of times we live focusing on the clouds. We think we're on an island all by ourselves. The Bible said He's never left us and He's never forsaken us. He said, lo, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the world. Tonight, if you're looking and it looks like clouds, I'm telling you, He's here tonight. He's here to answer every problem, meet every need, provide everything. He's never lost His power. He's never lost His glory. He's waiting on a people to come back and say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see You, Lord, like I've never seen You before. Lord, let me know You like I've never known You. You begin to pray that prayer. The next few weeks, He'll begin to reveal Himself to you. See, God only reveals Himself in practical situations. Abraham has Isaac up on that hillside, going to go through and kill his son because God said, and he cries out, there's a ram in the thicket. He said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. It was in that hard moment he saw the Lord was a provider. See, the answer is the Lord is always a provider, but Abraham didn't know it to that day. See, for your life, you're questioning, God, can You provide? I'm telling you, He's been a provider from the beginning. He'll be a provider to the end. For others, they learned He was Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nessi, Jehovah Rapha. They learned how great God was. And somewhere along this walk, this is the last thing I'll say. Somewhere along this walk, brother, I've learned He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's never left me. In the car tonight on the way home, tomorrow morning, He is Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen. Let our eyes be opened and let us see how great He is. Let us see the greatness of God is with us tonight. Amen.